Welcome to Clear Text. It's Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
So, Jordan, you wanted to open with something that ties together multiple stories today.
Yeah. Two separate nation-state groups, Lazarus and Sandworm, are both running the same play right now. Fake job offers weaponized with 0 days and backdoored software. Different countries, different targets, same playbook. Your HR pipeline is now an attack surface, and I don't mean that metaphorically.
It's a theme day. We've got nation-state social engineering at scale, a research team that literally hired North Korean operatives on purpose, a ransomware group that's gone fully decentralized, OpenAI releasing an offensive cyber model, a major logistics breach cascading across Europe, a critical VMware zero-day under active exploitation, and more. Let's start with the fake job campaigns.
So the Lazarus story first. Checkpoint has documented the latest iteration of Operation Dream Job, which has been running in various forms for years now. What's new is the pairing. They're combining a Windows zero-day, unpatched at time of targeting, with Trojanized PDF reader software, delivered through fake recruiter outreach. The decoy documents are Lockheed Martin job descriptions. They're targeting defense sector employees specifically.
And the sophistication here matters. These aren't spray-and-pray phishing emails. This is targeted social engineering through recruitment channels, LinkedIn messages, email threads that look like legitimate headhunter outreach. The victim opens what they think is a job description PDF, and the reader software itself is the payload.
Right. And then hours later, you see the Sandworm story. CERT UA has formally attributed a parallel campaign to UAC0145, a Sandworm subgroup. They've been running fake IT job interviews since at least May, but their target set is different. They're going after system administrators and IT professionals specifically. The payload is a Trojanized WireGuard VPN client.
Which is diabolical, because if you're hiring a sysadmin, asking them to install a VPN client as part of the interview process is completely plausible.
Exactly. And sysadmins are keys to the kingdom personnel. You compromise one sysadmin at a target organization, and you potentially have domain admin. You have access to backup infrastructure. You have the credentials that matter. The Russians aren't being subtle about who they want.
So for CISOs listening, the action items here are concrete. First, recruitment workflows need security controls. If your talent acquisition team is sending candidates software to install, that process needs to be reviewed. Second, your privileged users, your sysadmins, your IT staff, need specific guidance about unsolicited job outreach. And third, endpoint detection needs to account for Trojanized legitimate tools, not just known malware signatures.
And this connects directly to story three, which I find genuinely fascinating. A team of security researchers built a fake cryptocurrency startup from scratch, posted real job listings, and successfully onboarded three individuals they believe are North Korean state operatives posing as developers.
This is the controlled experiment that validates what we've been warning about for over a year. Every VM issued to the hires was under continuous monitoring. They documented the entire lifecycle, the application, the identity documents, the behavioral patterns.
And the identity red flags are incredibly useful for HR and security teams. One hire claimed Texas residency but submitted a California driver's license and a New York bank account. That geographic mismatch pattern is now a documented indicator of compromise for North Korean IT worker infiltration. These are things your onboarding process should be catching.
The broader point for boards and executives is this. The North Korean IT worker program isn't theoretical. Researchers proved they could encounter it by simply posting developer jobs at a small startup. If you're hiring remote technical talent, you are exposed to this threat. Your identity verification during onboarding is now a security control, not just an HR compliance checkbox.
Let's pivot to the Polish Powerplat story, because this one has real implications for anyone in critical infrastructure.
CERT.pl released a detailed post-incident report on a 2025 Russian linked attack against a combined heat and power plant in Poland, and the access vector is what makes this significant. The attackers got into the OT network through a private APN, an access point name, which is essentially a dedicated cellular data connection.
For people who aren't in OT every day, the standard assumption is that your IT-OT segmentation is your primary defensive boundary. Air gaps, firewalls between the corporate network and the operational network. What this attack shows is that a private APN, which many utilities use for remote monitoring and telemetry, can become a bypass path that completely sidesteps your segmentation architecture.
This is a case study that OT responsible CISOs need to pull into their next architecture review. If you have private cellular connections into your OT environment, those need the same scrutiny as any other network path. The perimeter model breaks down when you have wireless back channels you're not monitoring with the same rigor.
Moving to the ransomware landscape, two stories here that represent an evolution worth tracking. Deadlock Ransomware is using Polygon blockchain smart contracts and the Session encrypted messaging network to host their entire extortion infrastructure.
And the significance is operational resilience for the attackers. Microsoft Threat Intelligence has formally analyzed this. Traditional law enforcement takedowns work by seizing servers, killing domains, disrupting command and control infrastructure. When your extortion portal, your victim communication channel, and your data leak site are all on decentralized infrastructure, there's nothing to seize.
This is the logical endpoint of what we've been watching ransomware groups do for years, progressively hardening their infrastructure against disruption. The implication for CISOs is straightforward. You cannot factor law enforcement takedowns into your risk calculus as a meaningful backstop anymore. If Deadlock or groups like them establish a foothold in your environment, the extortion infrastructure will survive any disruption effort. Prevention and early detection are your only reliable controls.
The second ransomware story is different but equally concerning. Former Blackfile affiliates have pivoted from traditional ransomware to voice phishing-based extortion campaigns, and they're specifically targeting private equity firms.
They're impersonating IT help desk personnel, calling employees directly, and manipulating them into granting access. No malware as the initial intrusion vector, just social engineering over the phone.
For CISOs at PE firms or portfolio companies, this is acute. Private equity environments are uniquely vulnerable because of deal confidentiality pressure, because portfolio companies often have immature security programs, and because the access patterns across a PE firm's holdings create lateral movement opportunities that are hard to monitor centrally. Your help desk callback verification procedures need to be airtight.
And the Gunra ransomware story rounds out the picture. RAS operation built on leaked Conti source code, actively targeting critical infrastructure by exploiting known Fortinet firewall and VPN vulnerabilities and bypassing MFA.
The key word there is known. These are not zero days. These are unpatched Fortinet flaws. And the MFA bypass is the twist that should concern people, because MFA on your VPN is often treated as the compensating control for delayed patching. If that assumption fails, you're exposed. Patch your network edge devices, full stop.
Now, let's talk about the OpenAI story, because this one is going to generate debate.
GPT 5.6 Cyber. OpenAI has released a frontier model explicitly trained for zero-day vulnerability discovery and exploit chain development, with reduced safety refusals for offensive security tasks. They've created a two-tier access program, Daybreak Blue for defensive use cases and Daybreak Red for offensive research, with different guardrail levels.
I want to be measured about this because there's a real argument that defenders need these capabilities, but the practical reality is that this materially lowers the barrier for sophisticated offensive capability. The nation-state advantage in exploit development has been eroding for years. This accelerates that erosion significantly.
For CISOs, the planning implication is about threat actor capability timelines. Your threat models that assumed certain exploit development capabilities were limited to top-tier nation-states need to be revised. The democratization of offensive AI means your mid-tier threat actors, organized crime groups, hacktivist collectives, are going to get faster at weaponizing vulnerabilities. Your patch windows just got shorter.
And speaking of patch windows that have already closed, VMware vCenter. CVE 2026-59310, CVSS 9.8, directory traversal to unauthenticated remote code execution, active exploitation confirmed by Curso researchers.
If you're running on-premises VMware infrastructure, this is your fire drill for today. vCenter is the management plan for your entire virtualization layer. Compromise vCenter and you compromise every VM it manages. Patches are available. Apply them now. If you can't patch immediately, isolate your vCenter management interfaces at the network level. No vCenter management port should be reachable from general-purpose network segments, period.
And the last story, SIVA Logistics. A cyber attack has disrupted 8 European warehouses belonging to SIVA, which is a major global supply chain operator. Downstream impact is hitting multiple retailers and Steam gaming platform customers across Europe.
This is third-party risk materialized. SIVA is a logistics backbone provider. When they go down, their clients' fulfillment operations go down. For CISOs, this is a reminder to stress test your vendor risk program against the question, what happens when a critical logistics or supply chain partner is offline for a week? Do you have contractual protections? Do you have alternative fulfillment paths? Have you tabletop exercised this scenario?
Let's close with the outlook. Alex, what's the thread you're pulling on?
The theme today is that the attack surface has shifted to people and trust relationships. Fake job offers targeting your employees, North Korean operatives infiltrating your workforce, voice phishing impersonating your help desk, supply chain partners as single points of failure. Technical controls matter, but the human layer is where the most sophisticated actors are focusing their creativity. CISOs who are still running security programs primarily oriented around technical perimeter defense are fighting the last war.
Agreed. And I'd add that we're entering a period where the infrastructure supporting both attackers and the tools available to them are becoming more resilient and more capable simultaneously. Decentralized ransomware infrastructure you can't take down. AI models that accelerate exploit development. These are structural shifts, not individual incidents. Plan accordingly.
Well said. That's clear text for Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. Show notes on links to every story we covered today are at cleartext.fm.
Stay sharp. We'll see you tomorrow.